Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 11th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey, of course, will be along in a moment with all the agricultural news for the day, including a new study that says the CSP, the Conservation Security Program, has had limited success. Also today, because Monday was a federal holiday, we'll get our weekly crop progress report from the statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December contract in the wheat pit 30 cents higher at $5.31. March futures at 544.5 there were up 30 as well. December corn futures 284 up 8.5 cents today. The March contract 6 higher at $2.94. The May at 2.99¾ up 5.5. And December futures at 2.5 higher for next year, 309 the settlement price there. November soybeans at 562¼ up 1¾. January futures at $5.77 up 1¾, and the March futures up 2¼ at $5.87½. November beans next year at $6.21¾ up a nickel for the day. October bean meal 20 cents higher at $1.66 even. October bean oil at $24.15 were 11 higher. From the Mercantile Exchange, 85 cents lower in the October feeder cattle at $109.25. October live cattle at $88.35 up 7.5 cents, and December futures were 12.5 lower at $86.90. Lean hogs following that move lower. They were down 15 cents today at $64.65. Outside markets, November crude oil futures off 87 cents at this hour at $57.65. The CRB at $297.85, down 155. And the Dow at 11,828, down 39 points for the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on the phone now is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. There is breaking news in New York. A small aircraft supposedly hit a building at 524 East 72nd Street in New York, and that was no terrorist, but it did have a bit of a blip in the bond and also the stock market, and it's coming back. Officials say there's no foul play that they can determine at this time. Quite a day in LaSalle Street and at the major wheat trading pits in Kansas City and Minneapolis.
Let's start with the wheat. This has been the leader all week. You know, usually when we get into a week where there's a crop production report, not much is happening, especially in the corn and bean pits. But, man, what a wild ride it has been over the last 5 or 6 days. Tell me about it, please.
Well, you know, I think the major factor is that it was quite popular to be bear spread, short the nearby and long the deferred and long Kansas City and short the nearby. And the general idea is demand for wheat would stay dull, there'd be a good growing conditions around the world, and it backfired, and it caught. It was quite popular as a commodity spread in the Chicago trading pits, and several commodity firms had issued, recommendations along those lines, and it caught the people. And when the exchanges started raising the margin requirements on wheat and corn, it was like a very strong market here today and helped influence the wheat market to close substantially higher. Background news, Australia basically, wheat board basically said very few or limited exports out of the East Australian ports, and also major concerns about no export licenses on barley out of the Ukraine. And this also helped fuel the fire in the pits in Chicago.
And then if you take a look at that and see what's been happening in the corn pit, it's been rocking and rolling the last 3 days in particular. A very wide trading range, finished in the middle of the range today. It's kind of unusual when we get into these crop production weeks. Is this a sign that the market is just following the wheat? Is it ready to move one direction or to the other in the breakout? What do you think?
Well, you know, going back to the wheat just a minute, you know, possibly 7 to 10 million tons of world exports will come to Canada and the U.S. And as a result of that, the 150 million bushels of wheat that's normally fed for feed grains will probably be rounded up and put in the milling quality or export area. And that's the reason we're having $5 wheat, and also one reason why we have $2.84 corn. But definitely there's going to be more feed grain demand. The second thing is, as a result of that, we do know that the planting of wheat is tremendous in the Midwest, and historically, whenever that happens, that means possibly less corn from the past experiences we've had. And the other thing is, and the one thing that we talked about on Commodity Week this last week, is that the market, with this demand from the feed grains and also the barley demand and this new demand, you know, instead of just saying we need it, the market is saying we better have, you know, 4 to 5 million acres of corn planted next year. Popular belief, it is going to take a $3 a bushel cash price to make that happen. And as a result of that, we are seeing the prices of the feed grains particularly being bid up as a new chapter in 2006 is being written.
Well, the question, I suppose, at this point then is, of course, when we're looking at 284 corn on December as a harvest month, that's not high enough for the cash price, apparently, if you have to have 310 or 320, which is what I think USDA has said at one point to track the corn acres. Wheat futures look like they may continue to move, I suppose, one way or the other sharply. I don't make those analysis, but we're certainly short of wheat in the world at this point. Are you really turning bullish the market then?
Well, I think we have been bullish, but we have certain degrees of friendliness. And basically what the friendliness is that we're in the basically not kidding around stage. And not kidding around means that if the USDA would come in with a smaller report, and some of our source friends that we have, you know, we place high confidence in, says that we're starting to see variability in the Iowa crop.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely see that in the Illinois and Indiana crop. And granted, we might see a bigger Minnesota and Ohio crop. But what this boils down to, that if for some reason, if a private forecaster, Drew Lerner, sees wetter weather and we do get confirmation of a bushel or two less corn crop here between now and the final one, you know, this basically lays the claim to a market that's going to be extremely exciting as we put this corn and bean crop to bed in the next several weeks. And it does basically send another message to the end user that they better not be asleep at the switch at the trading desk, because demand is good. And when it becomes just strictly export or wheat milling, you better have your coverage, because there's no basic other market in the world to come to except Canada and the U.S. And the best way to protect those end users, of course, is in the futures market. And we do know there's increased volatility, and this is what we basically said, that, you know, maybe a person does need to take a deep breath and analyze this thing a little better and not be so smug about being sold out of corn and, you know, when it's all said and done, because it is going to, if there's some things that are changing in this marketplace faster than what I think the market and the farmer can basically realize that's changing.
Paul, anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Keep the handle and stay tuned to WILL, and we'll see the USDA crop production report tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 7:30 a.m. Thanks, Paul.
Bye.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And by the way, we'll send you that crop report if you sign up for our newsletter at WILLAG.org. At the bottom of the hour, we always talk with an agricultural meteorologist. Today, that's Drew Lerner. Let's take a look at what Mike Sola says the forecast for the two-state region is tonight in north and west central Illinois. Cloudy, cold, some occasional snow showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy and colder with areas of drizzle, possibly mixed with a few snowflakes overnight. Lows tonight from 25 in northwestern Illinois to 42 in the far south. Tomorrow in northwestern Illinois, Mike says cloudy, some snow showers during the morning. In northern Indiana and northeastern Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered showers tomorrow, a mix of rain and snow. In central sections, mostly cloudy, a few showers, rain and snow early, then scattered rain in the afternoon. In the south, partly sunny, highs from 39 in northwestern Illinois to 54 in the far south. Dave Dickey's here now with all today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a study released yesterday by the Center for Rural Affairs says insufficient funding and restrictions on who can participate has limited the effectiveness of the Conservation Security Program. The study suggests establishing a crop diversity index to CSP eligibility and enhancement payment criteria. The report also recommends simplifying payment rates. The Center for Rural Affairs also released a second study yesterday. It found small and medium-sized farms are missing out on the largest share of federal research and grant dollars. The study said only about 5% of the $500 million spent on four research and grant programs went to small or medium-sized farms. An Iowa senator says the U.S. is doing about all it can to support renewable fuels. Chuck Grassley says if he were on the docket for the underway Advancing Renewable Energy Conference in St. Louis, that would be his message.
We've got policies in place. It's just necessary to keep them in place. The extent to which people think that oil's a little higher, we don't need a tax incentive in order to make ethanol competitive. Just keep the existing policies in place is would be the arguments I would be making. They wouldn't be basically new arguments because I think we have a good energy policy in place for alternative energy.
Grassley says the only thing that needs congressional attention is additional research funding for enzymes for non-grain ethanol production. President George Bush has been invited to address a conference tomorrow. The president may unveil an advanced energy policy. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find the weekly crop progress report as you hear it right now from the statisticians in the five top corn-producing states of the nation.
This is Brad Schwab with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 9th. Corn and soybean harvest progressed at a rapid pace across the state last week under near ideal fall weather. However, some areas in the northeastern crop reporting district did receive rainfall, causing some harvest delays. Record high temperatures were set in some locations during the week, with the average temperature for the week being nearly 6 degrees above normal statewide. The warm, dry weather allowed both corn and soybean crops to dry down, and farmers were switching their harvest from corn to beans as their crops matured. Soybean harvest progressed at a near record pace last week, as farmers were able to begin thrashing earlier than normal in the mornings as a result of the dry weather conditions, which minimized the presence of dew. And while green stems were making for difficult soybean harvest conditions in the north, farmers across the rest of the state report that the moisture level in their crop is drying into the single digits by late afternoon. Weed seeding also made good progress this past week. However, weed seed is in short supply due to the recent market price increases, which are encouraging farmers to plant more acres. Farmers were also busy completing fall tillage last week, along with spreading fertilizer and lime. Taking a look at the crop progress numbers from last week, Corn harvest progressed to 44%, which compares to 56% 1 year ago and 48% for the five-year average. Leading the state in corn harvest was the Southwest Crop Reporting District at 81%. Taking a look at soybean harvest, 47% of the crop was in the bin compared to 59% 1 year ago and 54% for the five-year average. Leading the state in soybean harvest was the West Crop Reporting District at 58%. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Steve Pond reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 8, 2006. Dry, warm weather allowed producers to make good progress with fall harvest. Irrigated cornfields rated 72% good or excellent, below last year's 84, while dryland cornfields rated 25, below last year's 43. 94% was mature. Corn harvested was 18% complete. Soybean conditions rated 62% good or excellent. Nearly all soybeans had finished dropping leaves. Soybeans harvested rose to 49% complete, with harvest most advanced in the South Central District. Sorghum conditions rated 56% good or excellent. 87% was mature and 16% was harvested. Winter wheat was 91% seeded and 66% had emerged. Fourth cutting alfalfa was 84% complete. Alfalfa conditions rated 45% good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions rated 51% very poor or poor. This has been Steve Pond of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending October 8, 2006. Soybean and sugar beet harvests progressed rapidly this past week, aided by drier weather. An estimated 6 days were suitable for field work, as above normal temperatures improved field conditions and allowed corn and soybean crops to dry down. Average moisture content was 22% for corn harvested and 12% for soybean harvested. The average temperature for the week was 58.5 degrees, 7.4 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 3% very short, 15% short, 79% adequate, and 3% surplus. As of Sunday, October 8th, an estimated 97% of corn acreage had reached the mature stage, compared to 90% for the five-year average. The corn harvest was 8% complete, compared to 11% average. Corn crop condition was rated 65% good or excellent. Soybeans were 99% mature compared to 91% average. Soybeans were 62% harvested, 9 percentage points ahead of the average. Soybean crop condition was rated 67% good or excellent. The dry bean harvest was 91% complete, the potato harvest 87% complete, sugar beet harvest 50% complete, and the sunflower harvest was 13% complete. Sugar beet crop condition was rated 69% good or excellent, and sunflower condition was rated 61% good or excellent. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending October 8th. I'm Dan Loftus with the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of Indiana Agricultural Statistics for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending October 10th. Harvest activity and field work made good progress across most of the state. The drier weather was welcomed and needed to help the corn crop dry down in the field. Harvest activity for the corn crop is trailing the average pace at about 7 days behind the five-year average. The soybean harvest picked up speed as more of the crop reached maturity, but the soybean harvest is still about 11 days behind the five-year average. Topsoil moisture was rated as 0% very short, 2% short, 78% adequate, and 20% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 4% short, 80% adequate, and 15% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0 to 1.99 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 90 degrees to a low of 32. For the week ending Friday, 4.6 days were rated as suitable for field work. The corn condition for Indiana was rated at 72% good to excellent compared with 49% last year at this time. 83% of Indiana's corn acreage is rated mature compared with 94% last year and 91% for the five-year average. 19% of Indiana's corn acreage has been harvested compared with 29% for both last year and the five-year average. The moisture content of corn harvested is averaging about 22%. Soybean condition is rated at 75% good to excellent, contrasted with 57% last year at this time. 90% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves compared with 98% last year and 96% for the five-year average. 66% of the soybean acres has reached the mature stage, compared with 89% last year and 85% for the average. 18% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared with 48% for last year and 46% for the 5-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm Todd Gleason with WILL Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580.
We're broadcasting from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, thanks to the generosity of University of Illinois alumni Alice and Robert Campbell.
Joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, on this wild and woolly Wednesday afternoon. The weather's wild. The markets are weather wild. How about you, Kay? Are things wild there in Terre Haute, too?
Absolutely. I've turned into a wild woman myself, Todd.
Oh.
These markets are just defy logic, you know. It's just really very strange, but I guess we'll all just roll with the flow and a lot of people are getting rich, and a lot of people are getting poor.
Yeah. Tell me, what's your cash corn bid for the day very quickly, just the nearby?
Cash corn is $2.57.
All right. So for delivery. Now, the question I have as we look at that kind of cash bid there and the cash bids that we're getting around the Midwest in general, let's take a look. In central Illinois, the cash bid the day at $2.53.5, that was for yesterday, actually, was off 13.5 cents. Can farmers take a look at that and to themselves say, you know, 253.5 plus my direct payment, I'm making money, I can pull the trigger, or are they more excited about the market than that?
Well, of course, everybody has mixed emotions. It just depends on how much forward contracting a farmer did at 220, 225. He's absolutely sick. If they didn't really sell a lot, they're just spotting over the scales, and they'll go ahead and honor their contracts later. A lot of them that hadn't done anything are just tickled to death with these prices, but they're all a little glum because I think they're not going to get any LDPs. And, of course, they all look forward to that every year. So there's mixed emotions in this market as to, you know, why did I do what I did? And I'm glad I didn't do what I could have done. And so it just depends on who the guy is.
And then when they're calling you in today and saying, well, should I sell this across the scale? What are you saying?
I'm telling them yes. If you have not booked any more than half your crop and you're going to have a lot of bushels to sell, yes, they need to take advantage of this price. Of course, Todd, there are those who think we've bottomed this thing out. I mean, this is going to be a very hard crop to determine the size of, whether we've bottomed out, whether we haven't, and there's no doubt with this ethanol situation, you're going to see some better prices ahead. But you just can't ignore the how often do you see 260 corn, you know, out of the field when you've got one of the biggest crops we've ever raised.
Yeah, so I suppose it's a matter of when's the banker calling, how much have you got sold already, and can you make a profit at this level? So those are the things producers have to put in the back of their mind for corn. How about for soybeans? A different story there?
Well, here again, you know, beans, if you look at the fundamentals, they probably ought to be $4.50, but for right now, they're hanging in there. These prices aren't all that good, but there's going to be some prices ahead because, you know, I think the government is crazy about how much acreage they're saying that Brazil isn't going to plant because I read an analyst that lives down there, and he says Mato Grosso is going to cut back like 45%. There's going to be some surprises in this bean market down the road, but in the near term, the guy just has to decide if he wants to just go ahead and bite the bullet and sell it or try and hold on for better prices ahead and put it on DP.
And speaking of prices, your bids for the day are?
All right, our cash corn today is $2.57. Our beans are $5.23. Cash wheat is $4.46. And new crop is $3.69.
We appreciate you being with us, Kay.
All right.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Bunge North America in Danville. Bunge recognizes the importance of agricultural production to our society and economy and the role producers and processors play in providing food and feed to the world.
In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. An FBI spokeswoman says there's no indication of terrorism in the crash of an aircraft into a Manhattan apartment building today. The small aircraft crashed into the high-rise building on Manhattan's Upper East Side, leaving several apartments fully engulfed in flames. There's no word yet on deaths or injuries. There have been differing reports on whether the aircraft was a helicopter or a small plane. The crash sent debris raining down and unleashing what witnesses described as a giant fireball. A fire department spokeswoman says the aircraft struck the 20th floor of the building. The building is described as a 50-story condominium tower. It has 183 apartments, many of which sell for more than $1 million. A Wilmette businessman who's served as a top fundraiser to Governor Rob Blagojevich has been indicted. Antoine Tony Rezko is named in a federal indictment released in Chicago today. Prosecutors contend Rezko participated in a pay-to-play scheme that took money from companies seeking state business. Blagojevich is not charged with any wrongdoing. Massachusetts Republican Governor Mitt Romney says the Republican Governors Association plans to increase its financial support for Illinois Governor's gubernatorial candidate Judy Bartapinka. Romney made his comments in Chicago today after attending a breakfast fundraiser that brought in about $100,000 for Topinka's campaign. A coalition of education groups wants the Illinois gubernatorial candidates to answer their call for a tax swap to fund education. Education funding reform was the dominant issue in a series of recent forums with local educators. One of the forums was held in Urbana. A spokeswoman for Speak Out for Illinois Schools had hoped Governor Blagojevich and Judy Bartapinka would appear at a candidates' forum on education to talk about concerns brought up during the forums, or at least send replies for the coalition's website. But Samantha Anderson says they have not heard back from either candidate, and the Blagojevich and Topinka campaigns have also not returned phone calls from AM 580 News. Constellation Energy Group has agreed to sell 6 gas-fired power plants, including one in central Illinois, to Tenasca Power Fund LP for more than $1.6 billion in cash. The deal announced today involved plants that generate more than 3,100 megawatts of power. It includes Holland Energy in Shelby County, Illinois, as well as plants in California and Texas. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage on WILL Urbana.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: First Federal Savings Bank, Champaign and Urbana; Squires Land and Management Company, Danville; Michael W. Walker Consulting, Urbana; and Weiskamp Screen Printing, Champaign. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
And I'm afraid Drew Lerner is away this afternoon, so in his stead we'll be able to talk, I believe, and with Jay Searles, who's waiting for us in the weather office. Hi, Jay. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm very well. It is going to be one cold son of a gun over the next few days. Tell me how cold it is going to get, please.
Well, we've got some advisories and warnings out. A freeze warning out basically for the northern third of Illinois in effect for tonight. That includes Bloomington and places off to the north, Kankakee and Chicago. And here in Champaign, Urbana, let's take a look and see what we have going on from the Weather Service. Nothing officially as far as a freeze warning for us. Looks like we'll stay above freezing here in Champaign, but once again, much of northern Illinois into most of Iowa and northern Missouri are in that freeze warning. A freeze watch is in effect for central, even into southern Indiana, further east of us. And the freeze warning also extends for basically northern Indiana tonight. That area, those areas are expected to drop below freezing for a couple of hours, and that's what we really need for a solid freeze. So that's why the National Weather Service is going with that. Basically, we're going to have clearing skies over the region, high pressure building in, a very cold Canadian outbreak sliding south of the border into the 48 states, and that looks like that's going to be with us for a couple of days.
I see lows ranging across the two-state region from 25 in the far northwestern part of Illinois tonight to 42 in far southern Indiana, even a few scattered snow showers.
Yeah, a possibility over the area of some snow showers. I think if with the clearing skies, we'll diminish that threat for snow in Illinois. But further on to the north, where they're getting some more wraparound precipitation across Wisconsin and Minnesota, that is indeed the likelihood, actually, up there to the north. Take a look at some of the surface conditions with temperatures right now. Still in the 40s and 30s across most of Minnesota and Iowa and into Wisconsin. It's actually in the 40s. Quite a bit of light rain to moderate rain coming down in a band from about Chicago on northward and again into Indiana, just west of Indianapolis. Little bit showing up on radar right around Bloomington and further north, and again another batch towards Peoria as well. That's what we're looking at on radar. They're just rain showers, no snow coming down right now.
52 degrees outside the WILL studios this afternoon. 39 for the high maybe tomorrow in northwestern
Illinois. Northwestern part of the state, and temperatures across the state will be definitely much colder than we're used to this time of year, way below average. 40s here for sure, and maybe a little bit of snow mixed in the morning if we see any of those showers wrapping around. But I think, once again, mainly northern Illinois, Chicago, you got a better threat for seeing that in the morning.
Friday night, low in the mid-20s, and then she starts to warm up just a bit?
Just a bit into the weekend. We may actually have, if we get a freeze, of course, that begins the official start of any extended periods of warm weather. We'd be calling Indian summer.
We appreciate you being with us, Jay.
You bet.
Jay Searles is a meteorologist with WILL AM 580, part of a series of staff that we have in the weather department we can call on at all times. We thank him for filling in this afternoon for Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated, who was away from the office for the day. That is today's closing market report. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 when Dave Dickey will have the first look on the air, at least, at the numbers as they're released from USDA and the crop production report at 7:30 a.m. You can pick those up off our website at willag.org, or you can get them in email at willag.org. Just subscribe to our weekend newsletter. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.